About you, I've had a many guarantee, but I got one guarantee from Jehovah, and that is if I remain steadfast and faithful to the end of time, he's promised me a crown that fadeth not away. It's good to see each and every one of you. I hope and pray all is well with you. Want to just encourage your heart as this year continues to unfold. It's hard to believe 3 months into the new year already. Time is moving. Amen. And I don't know about you, I'm moving right along with it. Because I know one day he's going to call me from labor to the other side. One day, you will too. Stand before that judgment seat, and he's going to raise some questions. When I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was thirsty, did you give me drink? When I was shut in and in prison, did you visit me? And you better be able to say yes, 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 because if not, he's going to say, depart. If not that I don't know you, I never knew you. And so it's good to see each and every one of you this morning. Those of you that are visiting, I hope and pray something can be said from the word of God that'll cause you to think about your soul salvation. Jesus died on the cross to reconcile man back to his Father. In John chapter 3, in round about verse number 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Yes. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Yes. And Paul echoed that same message that John, in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, Paul said, God demonstrated how much he loved man, that he sent his Son to die on the cross. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ had already died. Christ came for a purpose, and that purpose was to reconcile man back to his Father. In Genesis chapter 1 and round about verse number 26, God said, let us make man in our image. In the image he made them, both male and female. Genesis chapter 2 and round about the verse 25 and following, God saw that man was by himself, and God decided that man needed some help. Brothers, that's the time y'all should have said amen. And so he made woman out of man. And in Genesis chapter 3, as he placed them in the garden, in Genesis chapter 2, he told them, be fruitful and multiply. Everything of the garden you may freely choose. But the tree that's in the midst of the garden, God said, don't touch it. For in the day that you do, you shall surely, surely die. And he just didn't mean a physical death. He meant a spiritual separation from him. As a result, Eve did eat. Gave it to her husband. And then they got to playing the blame game. You ever played the blame game? Let me talk to y'all. Y'all ever played the blame game? Y'all had a hard time getting here this morning, didn't you? Who you gonna blame? Come on, y'all. And as they played this blame game, God being the God that he is, he sentenced each and every one of them to a punishment. Started with Satan. Upon your belly you shall crawl. You shall eat dust. And then he reminded the woman, because you listened to the devil, you're going to have problems in childbirth. And then he got to old Adam. Because you hearkened to her voice, from dust thou art, dust thou shalt return, and you shall work by the sweat of your brow. What a punishment. And he has gone on since. But I'm thankful to God that he sent his Son. Amen. To reconcile stand, that I don't have to go through all of that they went through. Yes. And so this morning, I just want to encourage our hearts as we stop and think about what God has really done for us. You know, I'm reminded of about 40 years ago, and I can say that. Yeah. I remember 40 years ago that when Sunday rolled around, some of y'all can relate, there was no option where you were going. Amen. That's all right. There was very few stores open on Sunday morning. Amen. And if you drink something, you most of the time had to go to a different county to get your little nip. Amen. And I can remember growing my family at 20-some years old that God was first and foremost. 40 years later, Where is God?
He's still around.
But where are we at? Where do we really drop our hat when it all is said and done? Jesus came and died on the cross to reconcile man back to his Father. In Matthew chapter 16 and round about verse number 13, the Bible says when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And I want you to listen to what they say. And some say that thou art John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, "But who do you say that I am?" And that's the question I have to you this morning. Who do you say Jesus is? Because if he's Lord and Savior of your life, you better check yourself. Yeah. Luke chapter 6 and round about verse number 46. Jesus says, "Why would you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you?" And so the question is, it's the same question he asked his disciples. Who do men say that Jesus is? Is Jesus really the author and finisher of your life? If so, there ought to be a demonstration of your life to the world in which we live in. Matthew chapter 5 verses 13 and following. Jesus reminds us that we are the salt, we are the light of the world. How bright is your light? I know some of y'all are still on fluorescent tubes, but I switched over to LEDs myself. Where is your light? Does it really shine? Or is it dim? Part of the bulb is burned out. You ever seen these lights here? There's one right there. The end of it kind of gets black. And you know why? Because it's burning out. How many of us got some burnout in our lights? Y'all quiet this morning. Ain't even gotten to the lesson. This is primary, you know, pump you up to get you going. But Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And listen to their response. John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. They're not sure, but I like my buddy Peter, because Peter answers that thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God. Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon the confession that I am the Christ, I'm going to build my church, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And so Jesus built a church for what purpose? To reconcile sinful man back to his Father. How do I become part of that church? I got to hear the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 7. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I got to believe that this is the word of God. If you don't believe this, there's nothing else. There's no more revelations. There's no more prophecy. John chapter 20 and round about verse number 30. Many other signs was done. Jesus done in the presence of his disciples are not written in the book. But these are written that you might believe, and believing you might have eternal life. That's why I don't need no more revelations. I got everything I need right here. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible says you must be willing to surrender you. And I think that's the most difficult part of being a Christian, is getting you out of the way. Anybody have that problem? Oh, y'all don't have that problem? Boy, y'all see me afterwards. But maybe I better move over here. Amen. Because see, church, until you get out of the way, God can't use you. I'm learning that the biggest problem on this time side of life is man's arrogance, man's pride. And if we get that out of the way, could you imagine what kind of world we would live in? And you know something about pride? Pride is usually before you fall. And I'm learning, church, that if I'm really going to serve God, I got to give my best to him regardless of circumstances and situations. Church, and I'm learning the only way you're going to do that is you got to ask yourself a question. Where is Jesus really in my life? Because if he's not number one, I guarantee you he's nowhere else in your life. And when I say number one, it has to be a demonstration. If he is number one in our lives, won't the world know it? Won't your household know it? Y'all quiet. Amen. Because see, when he's number one, it's a demonstration of who he is. That brings me to my lesson text, Galatians chapter 2, around about verse number 20 and 21. I've often wondered how Paul could say he died with Jesus Christ. I'm understanding now, because Paul knew that Jesus must be number one in his life, regardless of circumstances, regardless of situation, because when God is first, God takes care of everything else. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verses 30 through 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things. What other things? Back up into the text, start about 19 and come down. He said, I'll clothe you, I'll feed you, I'll put a roof over your head. The psalmist said, I was young and now I'm old, yet have I seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. Amen. Where is he really in your life? Because see, when he's number one in your life, he helps you to deal with everything that goes on. Yes. I may not have all that I want. Mm-hmm. I'll say it again. I may not have all that I want, mm-hmm. but I got everything I need. Amen. I got a Savior that forgave me of my sins. Amen. You don't have to, because you're not the Savior. Amen, Walt. But he forgave me of all my sins, and he's allowed me to be able to stand before you and tell you, get yourself right. Boy, what? Only God can do that. Amen. Only God can take a man like me and clean me up, put a Bible in my hand and say, now you go out here and you tell him who's number one in your life. Church, if he's not number one, I guarantee you he's not nowhere else in your life. Because now I'm understanding what Paul meant. In Galatians chapter 2 and round about verse number 20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. How can you be crucified with somebody that's already been crucified? It's a mindset. It's an understanding to know that he died on the cross because I couldn't pay the debt. And because he died, I'm willing to die to help men see that there's a better way. I don't know about you. How many of y'all wake up sometimes don't want to be bothered with anybody? Yeah, I know. You don't have to raise your hand. I know. How many of us stumble through and go through life not knowing which direction to go? Oh yes, the cares of this world will wrap you, tie you every way, and then it'll take you and build you up, and then it'll spit you right out. Mm-hmm. But I serve a God that holds the world in the hollow of his hand. Amen. And the God that I serve, as long as I remain steadfast and unmovable, yes. Yes. To him, yes. He's promised me. Luke, yes. Chapter 16, stand when you die. Your family gonna be crying for you, but guess what? I'm gonna dispatch the heavenly pallbearers to take. But that's what motivates me. That's what moves me. To know that on this time side of life, I'm gonna have some trials, some tribulations. That's right. That's but right. Thanks be to God, I got a Savior that says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What do you need to do, Stan? Take my yoke. How many of y'all got the yoke of this world? You don't have to raise your hand, because if your face could tell a story, I know what the story is. Uh-huh. Amen, Walls. Amen. Somewhere down the line, either we believe this or we don't. I don't know about you. When I was in the world, I was something else. How about you, Wonder? Oh, yes. Yeah, I was. I don't hear nothing about no Jesus. Don't ask me to go to church. That's not my maker. But when I obeyed from the heart the gospel, went in the watery grave of baptism, and he said, now Stan, I have cleaned you up.
Yes.
For what purpose, Lord? Because I deserve it? No, I need you to go preach my gospel. There are some individuals that have some trouble in their lives. And you need to let them know, if they decide to follow me, I'm not going to take away the trouble, but I'll sure give you some confidence to where y'all looking at me funny. See, that's why I like this book, because this book here give me the confidence and the reassurance that I need on this time side of life, that when all hell break loose, you know, when Sister Harmon decides she no longer want to put up with old bald head, no teeth man, I get comfort to know that I got a Savior that is going to be there regardless. Amen. Of whether she stays with me or not. Regardless of whether you want to listen to me or not, I got a Savior that guarantees me I'll be right there for you. So in the midst of everything that goes on,
yes, sir.
I look to the heavens. That's what the psalmist said. Psalms 121 in verse number 1 and 2. I look toward the hills from which cometh my help. My help don't come from you. Amen, Walls. My help comes from the Lord. So in the midst of trials and tribulation, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and round about verse number 8, Paul says, we're troubled on every side, yet not in distress. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not cast down, and not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. So we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might be through thanksgiving of the renown of thanksgiving, glory unto God. Verse number 17 says, for our light afflictions. The things I go through right now, it ain't even gonna compare to the crown that I'm looking forward to. I don't know about you. Somewhere down the line, church, we gotta understand and raise the question, where is Jesus really in our life? And so Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 and round about verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what motivates me, is to know that the God of heaven sent the very best for me. Amen. You can have him too, but he sent him for me. And as a result of that, my life is a life of service. My life for him is to reconcile and to help men see that in the midst of everything you go through, you trust God, and I guarantee God will help you through every difficult situation you face with. Amen. Title of the lesson, he died so I could live. That's right, he died so I could live. And church, if that doesn't motivate you, check your pulse. Because you might be like Rover. Might be. You sitting up in here, but you could be dead all over. Paul in this lesson text reminds the church at Galatia that because of Christ's crucifixion, because of his death on the cross, I am willing to sacrifice my life in service to him, because he paid the debt that I could not pay. He was willing to go to the cross in my stead. Because when you look at verse 21 in Galatians chapter 2, Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ has died in vain. Paul says, my crucifixion of sacrificing my life and service is evident to those I come in contact with. But see, I'm learning, in order for you to really understand that your life should be in Christ Jesus and that he must be number one, there are some things you got to do. First thing you got to do is you got to learn to trust him. Amen. You know how we pray to God and we say we trust him, but before he answers the prayers, we won't step ahead of him? That ain't trust. That's asking and making sure that you get it before you even. Amen, Walls. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23, O Lord, I know it's not in man that walketh to direct his own footstep. If we don't know how to walk right, if we don't know how to talk right, then who do we really need to follow? I venture to say that if you put God first and foremost in your life, in the midst of everything that goes on in your life, he will help you to be victorious. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. What does that mean? Paul said, I was willing to give my life in service. How about you this morning? Are you really crucified with it? Does he really make the difference in your life? If not, you gotta ask yourself a question. Where is he first and foremost in our life? See, in order for him, you to really be crucified with Christ, you gotta first be willing to get out of the way. I'll say it again. Until you get out of the way, You'll never crucify your life in service to him. Paul understood that. Jesus reminded us that if you want to follow him, you must first and foremost get out of the way. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desire to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, Jesus said, you'll find it. And then he says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Paul understood the importance of sacrificing himself in service to the Lord. Not only was he willing to sacrifice his service to the Lord, he had a mindset. He had an attitude. The mindset, the attitude was that God must be first and foremost. So I'm willing to commit my life in service to him. How about you? Romans chapter 12 and round about verses 1 and 2. Paul once again reminds the believer that if you're going to really follow the Lord, there are some things you got to do. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul was crucified with Christ because Paul was willing to surrender his will to the will of the Father. And see, and I'm learning that when you surrender your will, you have a different characteristic about yourself. Oh yes, you didn't know that? Well, I just thought I'd stop by to tell you that when you surrender your will, it's evident to the world who you really are. Let me show you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, y'all don't look at me funny. Verse number 24, the Bible says, and a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will grant them acknowledging of the truth, and they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. See, a servant of God understands duty. How about you? My wife understands that I'm supposed to take care of her. Amen. So if I'm sick, get on up. Amen. Why? Because that's what I signed up for. Those of us that went into the watery grave, you knew what you signed up for? To seek and save the lost, to stay unspotted from the world, and to make your calling and election sure. That means you do that voluntarily, right? Amen, Walls. Point number three and the final point. Paul understood his crucifixion, and as a result of that, he lived by faith, he trusted God, and Paul knew the only way he could do that is he had to develop Christ's mindset. That's right. I'm learning that this Christian walk is only as good as the mindset you make it to be. If you decide you're not going to serve, guess what? I could preach till I'm blue in the face, and that would be a lot of preaching. You're not going to do nothing. You have to make the decision yourself. But see, when you develop the mind of Christ, then you'll be ready to do what God says. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Paul understood that the mind of Christ was to do the will of his Father. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 38, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. Matthew chapter 20, verse number 28, Jesus says, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. So when you develop the mind of Christ, guess what? You got to move forward. Amen. Why be in this and go to hell? That make any sense to you?
No, sir.
Huh? I know you're not planning on going, but where are you going? See, because if you're going to go to heaven, there's got to be a track record. You know, it's just like your credit score. Y'all understand credit score. Let me talk to you plain here. You understand credit score, huh? Mm-hmm. Mess it up. And what happened to your credit? You got to have a track record, right? If you want that 8, You got to pay your bills. Come on, y'all looking at me funny. You got to pay on time.
That's right.
And you got to limit your debt to a certain amount in order. Oh, y'all didn't know y'all getting credit 101, huh? In order to raise it to a level that makes it acceptable for a lender to come and lend you the money that you need to maintain. What about your credit score with Jesus?
Okay.
How many of y'all are below average? Because when you really ask yourself a question, where is the Lord first in my life or is he not? Then ask yourself and then rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, where is really the Lord? And seeing you know, ain't no need of you sitting here pretending like you don't know, because everybody up in here know where you stand, don't you? If you don't, well, I just thought I'd stop by and let you know that if you're below average with the Lord, you might be in danger. See, all of us ought to have a high score in the Lord. Why? Peter said we ought to make our calling an election sure, huh? How do I make my calling an election sure? Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you'll never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he who lacketh these things, that sounds like a low credit score, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
He who lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. And then Peter says, wherefore the rather, brother, make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. See, Paul understood the mind of Christ moved him to a higher plateau, moved him in such a way that he was willing to move forward. For those of you that are visiting this morning that may not be part of the body of Christ, I want you to move forward from your old status to the new status. And the new status is, accept the Lord Jesus in your heart, repent of your sins, we'll bury you in water, and guess what? You'll have an A1 credit score with Jehovah. See, because my score might make you lower. But the way you do that is there's some things you got to do. Philippians chapter 4 and round about chapter 3 and round about verse 13. Paul says, brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Boy, I don't know about you. I can tell you about my past, but that's not important. I can tell you about my future and I can tell you about my present. My present is great and my future is out of this world. But somebody say amen. That's right. And when you understand that, it brings out a totally different mindset. Paul says, brethren, I've count myself for apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. And then Paul says, let us therefore, as many as be mature, be thus minded, and if anything otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rules. The preacher got to follow the same thing that you follow.
Amen.
Let me reverse that. You got to follow the same thing that the preacher follows. Amen.
Amen.
Let us walk by the same rules. Let us mind the same thing. Now I understand Paul when he says, I've been crucified with Christ, because Paul was willing to give his very best to accomplish what God set for him. How about you this morning? Are you willing to give God your very best? If so, it requires you to come out of you and surrender your will to his will.
Amen.
It requires you to be willing to say, Lord, I want to dedicate my life and service to you and forget those individuals that will hinder you. See, the Satan has but one purpose, and that's to stop you from doing what God says. But Jesus wants you to understand, just like he asked the boys in Matthew, who do men say that I am? And that's the question I ask to you. If Jesus is really first and foremost in your life, Paul said in the book of Galatians, who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? Hope and pray I've said something this morning, church, to encourage your heart. 3 months into the new year, it seemed like it's just going. Maybe because when I get in the mirror, there's another gray spot or something, or a bald spot. I don't know what it is. But time is not waiting. What would it take to cause us to really stop and ask ourselves the question, Who am I really crucified with? You know, lip service means absolutely nothing to the Lord. Matter of fact, Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, I wish that you were hot or cold. But since you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, Jesus says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Want to encourage the members of the body of Christ. It's best that you don't know the truth than to know it and to turn from it. Amen. Want to encourage us that God has left you and I with a mission for the world. That mission is to help men out of darkness into a marvelous light, Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world in which we live in, James chapter 1, verses 25 through 27. Those of you that are not members of the body of Christ, you've heard the gospel this morning, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. The gospel is about the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus came to die for you. And when you take that personally, then you got to ask yourself a question. What must I do that I might be saved? The Ethiopian eunuch asked the very question. Here's water. What hinders me that I should not be baptized? Baptism places us into the body of Christ, which is the church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 22. If you're here, whatever your need might be, let it be known as together we stand in